if you go soul winning enough, you're gonna find this guy too. You're gonna find this guy. The guy that you say, you know, you get to the hell verses, and the guy is gonna be like, man, hell's right now, man. This is hell, man. Right here, bro. We're living in hell, dude. You guys are laughing because you met this guy. We've all met this guy. You know, and I feel bad for that guy. Because obviously things are not going great for you. If you think like, man, bro, this is hell, bro. Dude, bro. I had a conversation with Garrett one time for like 10 minutes, and all we could say was dude and bro. And we did it. No, but seriously, you're going to find this guy. Okay? You're going to find this guy. Now let's look at this story in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We're going to start reading. We're going to read the whole thing. Because I want to explain some things about hell. And you can take people to these verses to explain hell. Because it's important, it's scary, and it should be scary. Amen. Okay? Right. Look, Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. And he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Immediately he was in hell. You see that? That's the first thing. There's none of this, you sleep, and then whenever else, you know, you wake up later. He immediately lift up his eyes, and he was in torments right away. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He's burning. He's burning, and he just wants to be cooled off. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Look, there's no getting out. So to that guy that says that to you, you need to say, you know what, man? Are you on fire right now? Are you in flames, burning in pain right now? No, you're not. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. He knows he can't get out, but he wants his family to not go there. Okay? Now look, there's these other people that are like, oh, I'm just going to go to hell because that's where all my friends are going to be. Your friends don't want you there. If your friends are in hell, they're there for about a millisecond before they realized that they wanted you to not go there. This guy immediately, he knows he can't get out. And he immediately just wants someone to go tell his family. Someone, get back there, tell my family. I have five brethren, he said, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, they have this. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Belief, folks, is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. I used to be one of these people that was like, you know what? If we could just find, before I was saved, I was like, if we could just find Noah's Ark and we could just find all this stuff, everyone would believe in God. No. Jesus did miracles in front of the Pharisees, and they still didn't believe. And then eventually they could not believe. It's a heart issue. Their heart is hard. So even though somebody came back from the dead, Abraham says to him, they're not going to believe anyway. Because he didn't believe the Bible. His heart's not right. He wouldn't believe anyway. So, Revelation 14. Let's look at one more thing on hell. And if this is hell. Revelation 14 and verse 11, the Bible says this. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Talking about people that are damned to hell. There's no rest, and it's forever. It never ends. Imagine, you can't even wrap your head around it. You can't even wrap your head around it. Imagine no rest. Imagine that. You know, people torture people that way. You know, that's like a psychological form of torture. I got a quote here from Psychology Today. Sleep deprivation is an especially insidious form of torture because it attacks the deep biological functions at the core of a person's mental and physical health. It is less overtly violent than cutting off someone's finger, but it can be far more damaging and painful if pushed to extremes. Now imagine the extremes of never having any rest and burning while you never have any rest. This is not hell. No matter how bad your bill situation is or whatever, you have a fundamental misunderstanding of the vengeance of God if you think that this could even be close to hell. So feel free to have a couple verses that can explain this to people from the Bible if you get that, if you run across that guy. You know, God is a perfect judge, folks, and he will take vengeance. So the answer to Paul's, you know, question is God unrighteous that taketh vengeance? No, you know, God is righteous. God is the perfect judge. And everything that he does is right.